Energy Balance. Chapter 1. Incoming solar radiation absorbed by Earth and the atmosphere. As the solar radiation reaches the atmosphere or surface, both the atmosphere and the surface emit long-wave radiation and maintain the Earth's radiation equilibrium. The annual average of the incoming and outgoing radiation is called the Earth's radiation energy budget. Consider the amount of incoming solar radiation at the top of the atmosphere to be 100 units. Then the atmosphere absorbs 25 units. Of the 25, 7 units are ultraviolet radiation absorbed by stratospheric ozone, and the remaining 18 units are near-infrared radiation absorbed by tropospheric gases, including water vapor. Therefore, most of the radiation absorbed by the atmosphere is invisible. Short-wave radiation is hardly absorbed by clouds. Clouds mainly affect the radiation by scattering and reflections. Cloud particles scatter most of the incoming energy, 19 units, back to space. Because of this, highly reflective clouds can be easily identified from the space. Radiation backscattered by atmospheric gases or aerosols is 6 units. This is because Rayleigh scattering is larger than my scattering, which is directed to the surface. The reflection of the cloud and the scattering by the gases and aerosols in the atmosphere add up to 25 units into space. Thus, the atmospheric reflectivity is 25%. Although 50 units of solar radiation can reach the Earth's surface, not all of the radiation that the surface receives is absorbed, because the surface of the Earth is not a perfect blackbody. Of the 50 units that enter the Earth's surface, 5 units get reflected into space. Consequently, a total of 30 solar radiation units out of 100 units are reflected or scattered back to space. Therefore, the Earth's reflectivity is 30%, which is called Earth's albedo. The amount of solar radiation reflected from the surface is much less than that backscattered by the atmosphere. The atmosphere absorbs 25 units, and the surface absorbs 45 units. If the surface only absorbed 45 units, the surface would heat up continuously. However, the Earth is a blackbody, which emits the absorbed energy in various ways, keeping Earth's average temperature constant. Also, the surface and atmosphere are constantly exchanging energy. Chapter 2. Earth-Atmosphere Energy Exchange. The surface and the atmosphere mainly emit long-wave radiation, infrared. The long-wave radiation emitted by the surface is mostly absorbed by the atmosphere. This causes the atmospheric temperature to increase. The atmosphere releases more energy than absorbed in all directions. The surface receives a significant portion of this radiation, heat up more, and emit more long-wave radiation, reheating the atmosphere. This energy exchange between the surface and atmosphere occurs repeatedly. What about the global average long-wave radiation energy exchange between the atmosphere and the Earth's surface? The long-wave radiation emitted from the surface is 104 units, and the amount absorbed by the atmosphere is 100 units. On a clear day, mainly water vapor and carbon dioxide absorb long-wave radiation emitted from the surface. Most of the greenhouse gases, including water vapor and carbon dioxide, absorb long-wave radiation, but the 8 to 12 micrometers band permeates into space without absorption taking place. The total energy emitted by the atmosphere is 154 units, of which 88 units are radiated to the surface, and 66 units sent back to space. In this process, the long-wave radiation energy lost by the atmosphere is greater than the amount absorbed from surface. This difference, which is negative 54 units, is called net long-wave radiation. The surface absorbs 88 units of atmospheric long-wave radiation, but emits 104 units, resulting in the net of negative 16 units. The difference between the emitted and absorbed long-wave radiation is called the net long-wave radiation, and the net energy between the net long-wave radiation and solar radiation is called the net radiation. The atmosphere absorbs 25 units of solar radiation, but it loses 54 units of long-wave radiation. Therefore, the atmosphere has deficit of radiation negative 29 units. The surface absorbs 45 units of solar radiation, but loses 16 units of net long-wave radiation, resulting in net surplus 29 units on the surface. The net radiation deficit in the atmosphere is equal to the net radiation surplus on the surface. If there were no exchange of energy except the radiation, the excess energy absorbed on the surface would continuously heat the Earth and cool the atmosphere. However, energy is exchanged via conduction and convection, by which the net radiative surplus is removed from the surface to offset the net radiative loss of the atmosphere. Chapter 3. Energy Budget by Latitude. The amount of solar energy entering the Earth varies by latitude. If the energy of the flashlight coming out per hour is equal, which case shown above will receive more energy. When the light is coming from directly above, 90 degrees, the surface covered by the light rays will receive more energy per unit area than when the beam at an angle less than 90 degrees strikes the surface. Therefore, when the light beam is concentrated in a small area, the covered surface can be efficiently warmed. Likewise, the solar energy in low-altitude region more efficiently warms the Earth's surface than in the high altitudes, because solar energy that strikes Earth's surface perpendicularly is more intense than solar energy that strikes the same surface at an angle. Moreover, when solar radiation is incident at an angle, more scattering occurs because it has to pass through a thicker atmosphere. The figure shows the amount of incoming and outgoing solar radiation depending on latitude. On average, an area between 38 degrees north and 38 degrees south, the incoming energy is higher than the outgoing energy. However, the pattern is reversed to the north of 38 degrees north and south of 38 degrees south. The boundaries in these energy surplus and deficit areas change by season. During the Northern Hemisphere summer, more energy is received to the north of 15 degrees south, while more energy is received to the south of 15 degrees north during the winter. Without any other effect, energy surplus would occur in the region between 38 degrees north and 38 degrees south, resulting in warmer tropics and subtropics, and colder high latitudes. But this cannot happen. It is because the atmosphere and ocean transport the surplus energy to the higher latitudes to supplement the deficit of energy. The energy is transported primarily by atmospheric circulation, 75%, and ocean currents, 25%. Because of the pressure gradient due to the regional energy imbalance, the atmosphere tends to move from higher to lower pressure area, and it induces horizontal wind. The near-surface wind drives ocean currents, and the atmospheric and ocean circulation redistribute the energy globally. Chapter 4. Season. Solar radiation is almost constant, but the energy received over a year on the Earth varies widely in time and space. The temporal and spatial changes of energy are caused by the Earth's revolution and the Earth's rotation axis, which cause season. Number 1. Earth rotation and revolution. The Earth revolves around the Sun once every 365.25 days along the orbital plane, and the distance between Earth and the Sun continues to change over the year due to the elliptical orbit. Earth comes closer to the Sun on January the 3rd, perihelion, than it does on July 3rd, aphelion. The intensity of radiation at the perihelion is about 7% stronger than at the aphelion, but it is too weak to cause seasonal changes. The Earth rotates once every 24 hours around the axis of rotation. The axis of rotation is 23.5 degrees tilted from the Earth's orbit and is tilted toward the Sun during half of the year and tilted away from the Sun during the rest. Such changes determine the amount of solar radiation and cause seasonal changes. Number 2. Solstices and equinoxes. Looking at the picture showing the seasonal changes along the position of the Earth toward the Sun, We can see that the northern hemisphere is getting more sunlight during 6 months of the year, and the southern hemisphere in the other 6 months of the year. In addition, on the summer solstice, the sun at noon would be directly overhead, and the declination of sun reaches a maximum. As a result, the northern hemisphere receives maximum radiation and has the longest daytime. It is the opposite during the winter solstice, when the southern hemisphere facing the sun. Between the summer and winter solstice, when the noonday sun is shining directly over the equator, and when days and nights throughout the world are of equal length, 12 hours each, is called the vernal and autumnal equinox. The latitude, 23.5 degrees north or south, corresponds to the northernmost or southernmost declination of the sun, called the Tropic of Cancer or Tropic of Capricorn. The change in direction of the Earth toward the sun affects the length of day, the angle the sunlight and the distance of incoming solar radiation, which alter the temperature of the atmosphere. Number 3. Daytime length. Because of the tilted Earth's axis, the length of day and night changes and affects the incoming solar radiation. If the Earth's axis and orbit were tilted at 90 degrees, the northern and southern hemispheres would have equal length of day and night for 6 months. However, because it is tilted 23.5 degrees, day and night, which last for 24 hours, only occur in areas higher than 66.5 degrees north or 66.5 degrees south. In the northern part of the Arctic Circle, the daytime lasts for 24 hours, midnight sun, and the daytime length decreases toward the equator. In the southern part of the Antarctic Peninsula, there is a 24-hour night, polar night, and the opposite phenomenon occurs at winter solstice. The latitude 23.5 degrees north corresponds to the northernmost declination of the sun, called the Tropic of Cancer. The latitude 23.5 degrees south corresponds to the southernmost declination of the sun, called the Tropic of Capricorn.